Good morning. I'm fine, thanks. I'm so glad Mr. Whitehart is there.
Hey, Sue, how are you?
I'm doing well, John. It's good to hear you.
Yeah, you too.
Is it cold in your part of the city this morning, Sue?
Yes, it is, and it's cold in my house.
Don't worry.
But that's okay. I'm not complaining.
73 this afternoon will warm everybody up, and that's the good news. Sue serves on the MCCSE school board and checks in with us every Thursday morning just after 8:05. And this time of year, we're just fall break is over. Everybody gets refreshed and ready to go. Last week, we talked about the teacher's contract and how that has taken place and was unanimously passed by everybody. So that's good stuff. And now we get to talk about some not-so-good stuff because the rumblings from the state and how these I-STEP test scores are going to affect things moving forward. Let us know what you know. And, well, I guess we just have to grin and bear it.
You know, I don't know a whole lot more than what anybody else knows, according to news reports.
But none of those news reports are good.
Yeah, once again, I'm really concerned about I-STEP and how we use I-STEP, what the original purpose of I-STEP was and how it's evolved. I mean, the fact now that we're in chaos again about grading the I-STEP scores, which first was delayed, now there's a concern that there is a difference between questions on a written version and a computer version. Now, I don't know why you do that. I mean, I'm not a test developer, so I don't know why you do that. But so that's going to lead to even more delays if, indeed, I-STEP was supposed to give teachers some kind of indication as to how their students were doing so that they could help our learners by changing their teaching style or giving students what they need. It doesn't do us any good now. It doesn't do us any good after the first of the year. It doesn't do us any good in December or in the spring. And again, I-STEP doesn't necessarily tell teachers that. Teachers know that day to day to day what students need. We can figure that out without the I-STEP test. So we go through a whole lot of effort and work and an awful lot of money to come down to this where we're really kind of stuck, and we were even having trouble before this because of the cut scores, the scores that are established for passing and failing that had to be redone this year because of new state standards. So we've got two different problems. What are our cut scores? And a concern that many more schools were going to get F's than in the past, and many fewer schools were going to get A's in the past because of the way the cut scores were designed. And now we're delayed with scoring.
In 2014, over half of Indiana schools were awarded A's in the state's accountability system and only 12.8% D's and F's. Those figures will flip this year if the Department of Education estimates are accurate. They will flip. So that means over half the schools will be failing schools and only 12% will be passing schools. My goodness.
And again, that's just based on the way that the cut scores are created. Again, you know, I don't do this for a living, so I'm not sure how the people are establishing the state scores, the cut scores. But I know our superintendent, as well as a lot of other superintendents, have asked for kind of like a moratorium this year, since those cut scores seem to be, I don't know, maybe not reliable or maybe not valid or maybe not telling us what we need to know. Those scores should not be used to evaluate teachers or to grade schools because they don't seem like they're valid.
Well, just imagine the jump you'll get next year. You'll be up 30-40%, and they'll expect you to keep that plateau rising in that direction. Why? So for the person that doesn't follow education maybe as closely as they should, why is this happening? Why is all the consternation about how it's graded? Why? What is going to get better from this? What is going to improve from this? How is this getting teachers, students, administrators? How is this helping the process moving forward?
Well, I would say it's not helping at all, and the whole change with the cut scores are because the standards were changed. Now, again, I would think that you do this all ahead of time. You figure out some ways to do this ahead of time, so that you're not delayed during the grading process. But I know you have to see the scores and how you create the cut scores. There is something wrong either with our testing company, how we're developing the tests, how we're evaluating the tests. Something is not working correctly with I-STEP because it's not giving us the information that it's supposed to. And I-STEP was never, ever developed to grade schools were grade teachers. It was supposed to show you where a cohort of students stands right now. It doesn't tell you how one student is individually progressing. That was not the purpose, and that's not what it does. We have our own ways of doing that in our school corporation as well as other school corporations. We really don't need ISTEP to do that, and it's really silly now to think that we're going to use some standards that are, or some results that are in question to then evaluate teachers when their salary is based on that, or to grade schools when that is used all over the state to recognize how well a school is doing, although I don't buy into those school grades anyway. So I don't know that it's helping us, Mike. I think it's hurting us. It's creating a sense of chaos with the Board of Education and the Department of Education, and I don't know how we're going to solve it.
Well, and Sue, unfortunately, I think it feeds a perception, and let me emphasize perception, that there's a continued attack on public education, that we're right. that there are those for political motivations who want to make it appear that our public schools are not doing well. And you know, especially when you get results that would show a flipping of A grades and D and F grades, it continues to feed that perception.
It doesn't even make any sense.
And when you base it on just this one score, obviously there's something wrong here. And John, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I'm going to then also refer to a forum that was held by the Indiana Coalition of Public Education on Tuesday, where the one message that came out from all the panelists was, people need to be involved in their government. If you want any of this to change, you need to contact legislators. You need to vote in people who are more concerned with public education than they are with privatizing education. And that was the one message that came through, that we have lost local control of anything that goes on in our schools, primarily budgets and how schools are funded. And then this is another great example of a loss of local control. The state is going to determine how those I-steps are scored, and then how schools and teachers will be evaluated.
Our guest this morning is Sue Wanzer. She sits on the board for the MCCSE. John Weichert is also in the studio with us. And Sue, you had a meeting, was it earlier this week, that got some concerned folks together about local education? Tell us what you heard there.
Right. That was the Indiana Coalition for Public Education, and it was really talking about the attack on public education, especially where finances are concerned. And so all of our panelists, from Matt Pierce, who's one of our local representatives to the General Assembly, John Barnes from the Department of Education, Judy DeMuth from our school corporation, Judy Sharp was there talking about the whole assessment of black boxes and how we stand to lose a whole lot in property taxes because of the lawsuits that those large companies are bringing forth, saying that they're paying too much property tax. Fine, take their property tax away, and then who makes up for it? The rest of us. You know, regular residential homeowners, or we go without money, not just for the schools, but for all of the other taxing bodies.
Well, Sue, if I remember correctly, the property taxes, I mean, we're not funding public education through the property taxes anymore, but it's a decrease in revenue to the state, which then means the state once again can say, well, we have to cut funding to public education.
Well, John, you're absolutely right. And one of the things that was talked about was the $40 million that was spent on vouchers to private schools this year. Now, that's not like a separate little fund. That comes out of the money that all taxpayers pay to go towards public education. Now it's just seen as education. And right off the top, people who want vouchers are getting vouchers to help them pay for private education. And in case anybody really bought into the line that the state wanted this for poor children who couldn't afford to pay for a private education, John Barnes reported that you can have an income of up to $90,000 and still be eligible for a state-funded voucher for private education. So that's one more thing that's taking a whole lot of money away from private education, and we're essentially setting up two different kinds of school systems, the privates and the publics, those who have and who can get will go to the private schools. Everybody else will be left behind in the public schools with less money.
Well, that wouldn't be a big deal, Sue, if it wasn't publicly funded, correct? There's no problem with somebody putting together their own school or their own charter school, just as long as they don't get taxpayer money for it.
That's exactly it, Mike, and I really don't understand, especially some of my conservative friends who support paying for private schools, mostly religious schools, out of taxpayer money. This comes from the public sector taxpayers, the same money we use.
Separation of church and state?
Yeah, county government, and it's going to private education. That was $40 million this past year that can't be used then by public education, where we are taking every single student. And at that panel, Judy DeMuth very thoughtfully was talking about the medically fragile students who we have, who 20, 30 years ago we might not have had, because a lot of those kids might not have lived long enough to go to school, or they were institutionalized, or there were other resources to help them. And when I'm talking about medically fragile students, these kids are so severely disabled, and our teachers work with them on a regular basis to educate them. And the sad part is some of those kids, those teachers don't know if they'll live long enough to even make it through the school year, but we educate everyone. And the private schools, once again, get to pick and choose whomever they want. I could have a voucher to send my kid to a religious school, and that school can say, no, that kid didn't score high enough grade-wise. That kid has some behavioral problems. No, we don't like their background. We're not going to take them. They don't have to take anyone they don't want to. And that's my biggest complaint.
Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning, the MCCSC school board member. John Weichert is also in the studio with us. Sue, you've got a calendar thingamajobber coming up next week. Tell us what it's all about.
Yeah, it's a thingamajobber. We're going to have a work session at 5:30 on Tuesday at the administration building, and there's two topics on the agenda. And again, this is a work session for the board to receive information. One will be the proposed school calendar. The committee will be presenting their recommendation to us, and so the board will have some discussion and questions and answers about that. We will also have our consultants from Springstead who will be there to once again talk about the referendum so that we can get some more information about how we want to go through this, if we want to go through this, and how we will proceed and when we will do that.
And that's coming up next Tuesday.
Tuesday, 5:30. School administration building.
Very nice. And then your school board meeting is a week from Tuesday, right? The final Tuesday
right.
of the month.
And at that time, we will be voting on the calendar, and we will also be voting to adopt the budget.
That's a busy meeting. Well, good stuff there. We'll get caught up with you next Thursday to hear all about the previews for that and how the work session went with those two items on the agenda.
Okay, and can I tell you, one thing,
please,
too, that came out of the meeting on Tuesday that again, I started with and everybody agreed on, that there's ways to change what's happening to public education, but that means people have to get involved. It wasn't enough to vote for a superintendent of public instruction. We have to vote for legislators and a governor who support public education and who really do it not with their actions and their budget. So that was a great message, and I hope everybody will keep remembering that in the next year. And it also means contacting your legislators and the governor and the Department of Education to voice your opinion on how you think, whether it's ISTEP testing or budget or anything, should be happening.
Sue, is the school board going to take its meeting to Keith next week?
Oh, hey, are we allowed to have that many people at rehab? Because he's in rehab now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
You guys can chant him on and give him the encouragement to get going. So we hope Keith feels better. We do have a joke about it because we care. If we didn't, we wouldn't be talking about it or anything else. So who somebody fills in? Does that mean the vice president takes over just like we would at everything?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Get that gavel fitted before Tuesday.
Somebody's just a bad tackle away. So
that's all it is. One bad tackle away.
Isn't that horrible? That is
no, it's unlucky.
When I think about,
because again, Keith, he's done it for 50 years and never. Yeah. I mean, it happens once to you in 50 years. That's a pretty unbelievable math.
I know, but when
probability.
I just try to process how that happened and the pain that must have been there.
Don't remind us, Sue. I don't want to start sweating here on a Thursday morning.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I just want everyone to have compassion for Keith.
Yes, and
we all do.
You can say hello and put your well wishes on our Facebook page as well. Keith will see those down
there.
Sure
will.
All right, so
that's
good job as
idea.
Always, and we'll talk to you next
Thank
Thursday
you very
morning.
Much.
Goodbye,
Sue. Bye, John.
Sue Wanzer, MCCSC school board member. She checks in with us every Thursday morning just after 8:05.